Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello and welcome. This is Taran Travel with Rethink, Refresh, and Relaunch. Tonight we're going to be talking about family and mental health issues. With the pandemic, a lot of people have become very depressed. Some people are turning to alcohol. Some people are also causing them to lash out at family members. I've even heard that other people are deciding to divorce. But most of the time, we're dealing with certain mental health issues that we don't even realize is a problem. It's actually become more of a silent issue in many cultures, particularly in the African American community. We don't like to talk about it. It's kind of the thing that we keep in the closet. Well, today I have a special guest by the name of Millionaire Williams, and she is a life coach, a therapist, a pastor, and a public speaker. She's going to share about her journey dealing with mental health, and it was dealing with her son in the military. Million, are you on the call?
I am here.
Can you? Excellent. So glad you could make it. Well, first I want people to understand, I thought your name was so special and so unique, Millionaire. How did you get that name?
Oh, okay. So I guess we're going to start out right there. Hello, audience. I am delighted to be here on the show this evening to share with you my journey as I've gone through with my son. And but back to that initial question, how did I get this name? Well, I will share for the audience, it's Million, M-I-L-L-I-O-N, and it's spelled H-E-I-R as an heir to a throne, because a lot of times when people say my name, they go, oh, Millionaire, they think it's, you know, with the money kind of symbolic symbol there, but it's not. I used to model professionally years back, and that became a stage name, and that was Miss Million. I was being called that name continuously, constantly. I lived a double life. I worked in healthcare during the day, but I did fashion shows on the weekend. And my biological name is Millicent, was at the time, and was right now, because I have legally changed my name to Million, H-E-I-R, and it's hyphenated Williams. I'm married. And so that was a stage name, and so that's how that developed, and I was living Millicent by day and Million on the weekends, on shows, doing shows. So, you know, I got tired of being the double person and just really went before the Lord, because about a year I really contemplating legally changing my name, and I'd never met anyone who actually, you know, legally changed their name, but, you know, I did the research on it, and the Lord just kind of gave me permission. You know, I'm like, Lord, why a whole year later I'm still thinking about changing my name? I don't know where this is coming from, but he solidified and confirmed. And at the time, I was just going to change it to Million Brown, which was my last name at the time. And the Lord gave me heir, your joint heir to my throne. And you have spiritual millions in front of you. So I ran with that. And, so I have been Millionaire for quite some time now.
That is such a beautiful story. Such a beautiful story.
Thank you.
Well, I have your book in front of me, and it says Military Mom on a Mission. And when I received it, I couldn't put it down. I literally read it in one day. It was so gripping, what you went through.
Oh, you're going to make
me. And I'd like
blush.
You to share with our audience. How are you a mom on a mission?
Wow. You know, I didn't start out that way, but my son actually joined the military unbeknownst to me. It was funny and very ironic how he joined the military, because my three children and I at the time, I was divorced. We lived in Los Angeles, and we were headed to the East Coast to a family reunion. And the plan was to fly LAX into Virginia Beach at the time where my sister lived, and we were going to drive two vehicles, she and her boys, two sons, my three, and we were going to drive from Virginia Beach to Jacksonville, North Carolina, where our family reunion would be held. Well, prior to my children and I flying into Virginia Beach, my two nephews had actually joined the Marine Corps before we got there. So we knew that. And my oldest son, who was 23 at the time, they actually, while my sister and I were sitting there talking, just getting reacquainted, hadn't seen each other in a while, they had taken my son to the recruiter's office and talked him into joining the military. So here we are on vacation. You know, I'm thinking, you know, we get there to Jacksonville, we'll enjoy the family and head back to L.A. and we'll all go to our respective jobs or whatever, and none of that happened. So here we are as a family, having taken this trip, vacation, and we don't return with my eldest son because he was now property of the United States Marine Corps. And I can't even explain to you,
oh my gosh,
what went through me as I sat at my sister's kitchen table and my son came back to the house to share with us that he had joined the Marine Corps. And I sat there bewildered. I sat there with a plethora of emotions that went through me, anger, upset, surprise, shock, disbelief, denial. I think I went through every emotion known to mankind. But the reality was, you know, my son was over 18, and, you know, and at that time we were not in active war, so I kind of calmed down about it, you know, and it's like they have this buddy system, you go in with family, friends, or whatever, into the military and sign up. And I said to myself, I said, oh, yeah, the only one that's really getting out of this is the recruiter himself, because I'm quite sure he got a big, fat check that
exactly.
month, all three in one. Yeah, so, you know, it was, and my son, he was a very creative child growing up. He was in a lot of art contests. He had even gone to college for art at one point. And this was not something, you know, sometimes, you know, kids grow up, you know, I want to be in the military, or my dad was in the military, so I'm going to follow in his footsteps. None of that was happening for us. So this was a story that just came out of nowhere.
Wow.
You know, so the ride back home on the plane, you know, they're looking at my son's empty seat and just trying to figure out what just happened. Why did this happen? What's going on? But I have to share with you, Terry, that the real situation came when I got home and I walked in my son's bedroom and I'm just standing there looking around and I just burst out into tears because I couldn't believe what just happened to our lives. I mean, we now are living a new norm, and totally unbeknownst to me that when he, you know, went in, like I said, we were not in active war, but then, you know, he was called to Iraq, he was deployed, and he came back. We have a huge celebration for him. Family and friends, about 50 of us at a restaurant, and I'll never forget that day. My girlfriend, who was an RN, we had gone into the restroom together, and we were just talking, and she says to me, she says, have you looked inside of Jerome's eyes? And I'm like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? And I was completely clueless to mental illness, completely clueless. And she's like, that's not my Jerome. I said, what are you talking about? My son is back from war. He's back. He's got all his body parts. I'm just excited, on high, and just, you know, enjoying the moment.
Exactly.
And she's like, no, Million, when you walk out of here, look in your son's eyes. And I was like, you know, in the back of my mind, I'm like, I don't know. Why is she just all this? I'm like, okay, let me just do this, because she seems to be pretty animate about it. So I walked out, and I'd always called my son Champion from the time he was born. And I said, Champion, give Mom a hug. because I'm a huggy-feely person with my kids. So, you know, that wasn't abnormal for me to do that. So I go and I walk up to him. And Terry, it was like a stake was just thrown in my heart and someone was turning it and I couldn't take it out. And I was devastated. The look in my son's eyes, I had never seen that. It was a very strange, a very foreign look. One just like off in the distance somewhere, like he wasn't there in the room with us. His body was there, but his soul, his mind, his spirit really wasn't there. And he was going through these emotions. It scared me because I didn't know what that was. And so that began the mission.
To finding him. So how did you get him help? How were you able to get him the help that you needed when you could see that there was something more?
And it's interesting you ask that question because, and it's so critical, because when we went back to North Carolina, that's where he was stationed, and remember we lived in L.A., so we actually had his celebration out here in Los Angeles because that's where his, you know, friends were and everyone. So we flew back to North Carolina, and at that point I'm like, okay, I've got to get my son the help he needs over at the base. And back then, PTSD did not have the public awareness that it has today. And, you know, when you're in that space and time of life where you're really trying to rally about something and be a trailblazer in that space and it's not really known to everybody around, I remember even speaking to one of his platoon sergeants, commander, so many names there in the military, all the rank and file in order. And I mentioned to him about PTSD because my girlfriend had mentioned to me, she says, I think maybe Jerome has PTSD. And so I had to look it up and even find out post-traumatic stress disorder. I didn't even know what it meant. And he looked at me like I was crazy. He didn't know what I was talking about. So back then, you know, it really wasn't just, like I said, public knowledge, information. Today you mentioned PTSD. People know what it is, you know. It's pretty widespread
exactly
in our culture now. So I really had to, I mean, bang on doors to have them listen to me, and they weren't hearing me. I was over at the base, you know, telling them, the battery commander, all something's wrong with my son. You guys need to check him out. They, you know, pretty much looking at me because, you know, their thought is he's property of the United States Marine Corps. You know, you don't own your son and he's
exactly
not yours anymore. And that's how they view them, you know. So I remember, it's so funny, one of his first sergeants that I kind of like got right in his face, you know, nose to nose. And I told him, I said, you haven't even seen Iraqi war. That is my son that you are trying to deal with it as if he's a number. And, sir, I am telling you, if I've got to go and camp out on the steps of the White House, Bush and company, trust me, I am going. And so
exactly,
I had to be on a mission to get him the help he needed, he deserved, because they were not believing me. But what caused everything to turn around was 6 weeks after he was released from the military, he had a full mental breakdown. And, I mean, to the point we had to call the cops. You know, they came. He had calmed down at that point. They had asked us if we wanted him to, you know, be placed in the car. Did we think he was okay to ride with us, to take him over there so he could get checked out? And, you know, I felt okay, and, you know, my husband did as well, and we took him over, and the cops followed us there. And I remember sitting there in the waiting area. It was like 5 hours waiting for the doctor to come out with a diagnosis or give us something or tell us something. And the doctor comes out with, oh, your son has bipolar, severe psychosis, schizophrenia, and just like he's given like a menu is what I kind of remember, that he just kind of came out like we're in a restaurant. He's going down the list, giving us all the menus and items. And I just, again, the disbelief. And I just couldn't believe that we were being treated like this, as if to say, this is just normal routine, normal things that happen to people. And, you know,
exactly.
And I've never been confronted with mental illness. So this was all brand new to me. So I will say, now I have the medical diagnosis that, you know, I was desperately trying to tell them prior to that something's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But I tell you, that began a new norm for our family, because that was just the beginning. And it was a very dark, desolate road, you know. I mean, he had different episodes. And, you know, once they finally got the proper medication, you know, there were times when he went off his meds. We had to have him involuntarily arrested. And he was committed. And, I mean, we went through all of it. But I can tell you today, Terry, I can tell your audience today that my son is living a very healthy life. And I had to write this book, Military Mom on a Mission, an Advocate for Mental Health, because I have to let people know that mental illness does not have to be a death threat. It doesn't have to be suicide. And I'm not saying that to mitigate those that have committed suicide, because the pain of those families I've not dealt with in that regard when it comes to mental illness. But I was that mother that I would not stop, Terry. I got my congressman involved. I contacted my mayor. I wrote a letter to the veteran, the Naval Board of Corrections and Veterans Administration. I drove to our capital to go see my congressman to sit at his desk. I sought an attorney. I did everything known to mankind. And that's why the book is titled Military Mom on a Mission, because I was actually on a mission to accomplish at hand the help that I desperately needed to get for my son. He's doing so well today. And also, I'll have to add
that
this,
is so wonderful.
Critical to having him get to the place that he is today. And that's simply this. I went on every doctor's appointment, every therapist appointment, every counselor appointment. I was involved. My son, he signed a power of attorney early on, because we had a very trusting relationship, you know, as a mother and as a son. So he signed over everything to me. So I was able to directly affect his medical care from the onset, and ensure and make sure I had a medical journal. Every appointment he went on, I was sitting there writing down everything that they said. I'd go back and do research. I'd come back and ask questions. I'd call. I'd leave messages for the doctors. I mean, they were tired of me, you know, but this was
exactly.
My son.
And you have
I
to
knew
be relentless
I
over your child.
Advocate. Yes.
Even
exactly.
Though he's an adult, he needed that voice.
Yes. Yeah,
you had to be his voice. Wow. Well, now, one thing that I absolutely loved about the book is all of the resources you uncovered. I mean,
yes.
That's so important, because I think people don't know where to turn.
Yes.
So how did you
and
find all these resources?
Yeah. And, you know, and that, it, you know, because dealing with mental illness within itself, for anybody, you know, the rest of the family, it's overwhelming. Let me first say that. It's overwhelming. But my personality type, A-type personality, and I don't accept no. And just because somebody said this and, oh, I can't have this or can't do this, that does not mean anything to me when I know that I'm on the path to doing what I need to do to make something better than what it is. I'm not going to stop. I also recall sitting at our kitchen table, sharing with my husband. I said, you know, I love you. I said, but my son needs me right now. He needs me right now. I have got to be his voice. I said, you know, and that was at the time when I wrote the letters to the veteran administration and had the congressman involved. And I told my husband, if this doesn't work and if we're not able to get him the medical benefits and have, you know, him become 100% disabled, service connected, I'm going to have to go to the steps of the White House and I'm going to have to camp out there with Bush and company. And believe me, Terry, as God is my witness, I didn't know if I would have had to do that or not, but I was willing to do it. And I even told my husband, I said, you know, if this means this is how I am going to die, being an advocate for my son, being a voice for him, then so be it, because I've lived my life, and this he didn't deserve. So whatever I have to do, I'm going to do it. And as God saw fit, and I'm grateful for that as well, I didn't have to do that, because the letter that I wrote to Veterans Administration, and now I had, you know, the medical diagnoses, they could not, you know, deny it anymore at that point in time, you know. But the thing that I want to share with your audience, for those that are listening by the sound of our voices, is the fact, don't ever give up on your loved one. I know it gets hard, and I know it's tons, and I know it becomes overwhelming, but I set out to write this book for that mother, that family member, that friend that may know of someone else that's in the military that maybe they didn't have the fortitude and tenacity that I have. So I put those resources in the back of the book. The appendix is full of information. As you know, Terry, you've read the book. And so those resources are there for people to grab hold of. And I also have a glossary in the book, you know, because I realized that as I was writing this book, because of mental illness, it's not just people that are in the military that are suffering with mental illness. And you and I both know, with this COVID-19, with the racial disparity in the country, we're at an all-time high. That mental illness is just moving to the forefront. And, you know, you and I have talked before that, you know, I think 5 years from now, what will our country look like if we don't get ahead of this curve of mental illness and the plight that's going to hit this country, even beyond the COVID-19, it's just going to be so far out of control. I don't know if we'll ever get control again. And I hate to say that because, you know, I grew up in this country. Generations of my family grew up in this country. And as a child, and I'm a 64-year young woman, I would have never thought that I would live to see the day when the United States of America is in the condition that it's in. And so my heart bleeds for those veteran families, those military families that are out there, because I know so many of them already have mental illness that they're dealing with and disorders that they're dealing with. And this is just making matters worse. It's magnifying things in life. So I want to let people know, if you need to get help, do not be afraid to pick up that phone. Do not be afraid to reach out to get help, because help is available in our country. You know, I know things are much, you know, very much out of control, but still you can get the help that's needed to get you through to the other side of this. My son is doing very well. So if he can do this, oh, and there's one important thing I really want to share with your audience, and that is the do's and don'ts of helping a family member when they're in psychosis. One thing, don't panic, don't overreact, because you've got to keep your cool. So many times when my son was in an episode, I had to remain calm, because me yelling or screaming or getting out of control is not good for anybody that is dealing with an issue at the time. and you've got to listen to them in a non-judgmental fashion, you know, and don't make the medication and treatment, the diagnosis and all that the focus at the time. You need to speak slowly, articulate, and calm for them. And don't threaten them in any way. That is just not the place you want to be with your loved one or someone you're around that's going through at the time. Stay positive and encourage them to get help. And don't hesitate to contact a mental health professional if you need to. So, you know, I'm just...
That sounds like great advice.
Well, passionate.
We are
about down
to our last 4 minutes. So I want to make sure that people know how to reach you to get in contact with the book, where they can get the book from. How can they get that?
Thank you so much. And I also had a lady say to me, she says, Million, I think if I had read your book when my, because her son committed suicide and came back to the arms, she said, but I really believe if I had read your book and all that you outline, my son would be alive today. And I tell you, that brought tears to my eyes. I tell you. So the book is purchased on my website. Yeah, directly on my website at militarymomonamission.us. You can also purchase it on Amazon. It's available on Barnes & Noble. Also, I'd like to say every Thursday morning from 8 a.m. to 8:45 Pacific Standard Time, I am on Facebook Live, and I've been commissioned by God to pray for a different state of the United States of America each Thursday concerning our military families, our veterans, those that are deployed, those that are here on the home front, the military families, because they go through things that regular civilians never go through. And we don't give our veterans, our military families, the honor and dignity that they deserve. So I'm here on a few fronts spreading the word and really wanting to eradicate this stigma of mental illness and all that people are dealing with. One of the things that I told my son when he first got diagnosed, I said, Jerome, as a champion, let me tell you, this is nothing different from me having hypertension, somebody having diabetes, any other illness that we deal with, okay? This is just a different part of your body that's going through. So we'll get to the other side, and we got to the other side. So I just want the people listening at the sound of my voice, there is hope. Do not give up. It's not an option. I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of fasting. Had a lot of people praying for my son. So just know, God is not a respecter of persons, and what he'll do for one, he can do for the other. But you've got to put in the work. I'm not going to say that this is just something you just pray about. And that, no, there are things you've got to do to help your loved one get to the other side. But it is possible. Get the book. You'll see it's rich dialogue in there, information that will help you along your journey. MilitaryMomOnAMission.us. I also have a book club. I would love to invite you. Go on there. You'll see some upcoming
events. We are down to our last minute, Miss Millionaire. We're down to the last 1 minute. I wanted to thank you. Thank you.
Yes.
For being on my show. And we are looking for good things for you in the future. Remember, that was MilitaryMomOnAMission.us. Her Facebook Live is on Thursdays at 8 a.m. to 8:45. If you having issues with mental health, please reach out to someone. We thank you again for joining us today. And make sure that you make a difference every day in some way. And once again, I want to thank my guest, Millionaire Williams, and the best
thank you for having
of
me.
Luck with you on your book. Thank you, audience, for tuning in. And we will
bye-bye.
Have another show next week. Bye-bye.